I want to welcome you, and I hope everything's going well with you. A little bit about today. The Sunday school lesson this morning was about godliness and trying to be closer to it and learning how to see it around you and be an example for others too. So this morning, let's think about being striving to do God's will and God's work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for this time that we could be together in your house. Give us strength in all things we do, and give us compassion also. These things I pray in your name. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us this morning. If you're a guest or visitor with us for the first time, especially welcome you. We'd like to get to know about you a little bit more. There are some cards in the pews that you can fill out and drop in the offering plate, just so we can get to know you a little better. Couple of announcements to get us going this morning. First of all, Joey told me to tell everyone that out here in the lobby area, on the table out there, they're like yellowish pieces of paper. They're nominating committee forms. If you're interested in serving on a committee, teaching a Sunday school class, any of that good stuff, you fill one of those out and just leave it. And so that way we can look at where we got and where we've got people willing to serve, where we need people, and just because it's coming up, it's almost the beginning of a new church year. It's kind of wild. This year has flown by. I know it's just the third day of August, but it'll be the first Sunday in September before we know it. So keep that in mind. Don't forget about our Wednesday night services, our youth and children down in the building. Our adults Bible study and prayer meeting is up here in the sanctuary. I wrote down a work day, but I'm not really sure. I wanted to make sure. Are we working Thursday? No work day Thursday. Next Sunday, we have a couple of things going on. In the morning, there is a special with deacon ordination service. So during our morning worship time. And then that evening, at 6 o'clock, anybody who would like to, we're going to meet outside the flagpole at Crest High School. And I don't guess you can go inside a flagpole. So we're going to meet around the flagpole at Crest High School. And we are going to have a prayer time for their churches all over. And they're going different schools. And our school is Crest High School, that we're designated to go and pray for, but we're going to be just praying for the school system in general as teachers and students get ready to go back, because I don't know. Being inside the school system, I will tell you, there are a lot of teachers, and I mean a lot of teachers, who are ready and willing to share the gospel if the time comes up and we do it, and it's done through the way we treat the kids are treated and loved. And so just be in prayer for those. And if you want to come out to that, it's 6 o'clock around the flagpole out front of Crest High School. In 2 weeks, we are going to have a youth and children's council meeting after church. And I say youth and children's council, but anyone who is interested in serving in our Sunday morning Sunday school, in our Wednesday night services, come out of that. What we're going to do is we're going to look at, or if you're interested in serving anyway in the children's ministry, we're going to look at Vacation Bible School, we're going to look at camp, we're going to look at things that we liked, things we'd like to see maybe added or done a little different going into this new church here. And I will make sure, I know that's lunchtime. We're going to go to the old school youth staple. There's going to be some pizza there. So let me know. Huh? Laura said no, there's not going to be pizza. We're going to have something to eat. Just let me know this week or so if you can if you want to come to that, so I can kind of get a count how many people's going to come. And I don't think there are any other major announcements. There are some important dates in your bulletin. The August the 16th, they're having a crafting from 9 to 2. They're having crafting for Samaritan's Purse. And then the 17th is our deacons meeting and our church conference. And then the 31st is our picnic at the creek. So keep those things in mind. But this morning, I just invite you to let's leave the troubles outside the church door this morning. And let's spend some time focusing on the Lord this morning and worship Him.
Good morning. I think I would pay money to see Chad try to get inside of a flagpole. He would be doing some wrestling himself. Speaking of which, I wanted to say thank you to Chad and all those who worked in Bible school. I think it was quite a success. We worked through some sound issues and things, but it turned out very well, and we were blessed to have several children participate in that. And again, a thank you to all those who did participate. On Wednesday, in addition to studying from the book of Acts, we also do our prayer time. And we've been praying for the Jolly family, and I have a card that I've been asked to read on their behalf. Dear church family, I apologize for being late thanking you. So much has happened since the passing of Mike. First, let me thank each of you for your prayers, texts, telephone calls, visits, and meals. Mike wanted to come back to church so bad, but he just wasn't able. He prayed for the church along with his church family. His death is really hard on me because we were together 24/7. Next, let me say thank you for prayers for me while I was in the hospital twice since Mike's death. Please continue to pray for me since I have two serious doctor appointments coming up and surgery also. Mike loved each one of you and talked about you until he wasn't aware of anything. Let my family tell you thank you one more time for everything. We love you, Diane Jolly and family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do come to you this day recognizing that we are helpless and hopeless without you. We thank you for the strength that you've been giving the Jolly family during this time. We thank you for the others that we've been remembering on our prayer list, that you continue to help with healing and be able to help with giving strength to those that are weak. We also offer this service as a gift to you, a gift of praise, as we want to praise your name and lift your name on high. We thank you for the way in which you touch our lives, and we want to express our thanks to you through the songs, through the prayers, through the sermon, and every aspect of this service. May it be for your honor and for your glory. And we pray that you speak to our hearts and guide us into a closer walk with you. For it's in Jesus' name I offer this prayer. Amen.
The Bible tells us to continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. So would you stand as we sing?
Bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up sacrifices our joy. We sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
Thank you. We'll continue worshiping by giving up our tithes.
Pray, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity you give us to come to your church. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us to earn a living, that we'll be able to supply for our families, supply for our needs. We also want to give back a portion to the Lord, to you, that you have bountifully blessed us with, Lord. We ask that you would take this money that we're presenting, Lord, and you would use them to further your kingdom. For Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing hymn number 290, I Am Thine, O Lord.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. When I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know, till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach, till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, precious bleeding side.
All right. Good morning. Truly was excited about the children's sermon. But this morning, in place of the children's sermon, we are going, I just want to have a VBS report. I think VBS went amazing. Like Pastor Don said, during commencement, we had to overcome some sound issues, and those really stressed me out. But I think everything went well. I want to start out by thanking God for allowing me to be part of this church, and for you guys for allowing me to be part of this church, and the parents for allowing me to be part of these kids' lives. I guess I'm still just a kid at heart. That's why I fit in so well with these guys. We spent a lot of time. We had a lot of fun. We did a lot of worship. I was able to share the gospel in unique ways every single night. It's important. It's really important to me that no matter what Bible story we're reading out of, what we're doing, that it all points back, that I make sure, and everything does point back, that I make sure that they see everything points back to the cross. That's what it's all about, because we wouldn't be here today without the cross, without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't be able to be here worship. The church wouldn't be the church. And I'm so thankful for that. I want to thank all the volunteers. I'm just going to name out all the volunteers. But if I did that, in a little bit, that'd be like playing me off stage, like at one of the Grammy welcome speeches or something, because it would go on forever. Because we had lots and lots of adults and teenagers who came out, gave their time, gave their energy, gave their heart to these kids this week. We had the volunteers, they were craft volunteers who did with craft, music, and I want to talk about the music for a minute because of I pushed two teenagers into that music position, and they did amazing. Kennedy and her friend Kaylee, who comes with us occasionally, but they go to Hope, but when she's here, she comes with us, and they went in and they led music all week, and it was amazing. They did a great job. I don't think either one of them want to be music ministers, but they could be missing a call. Sandra, you might have some talking to do to lead them into that. The kitchen was amazing. Mandy and Pam and everyone who was in the kitchen. I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm the type of person who like, I don't like to ask for help. I like to go in and be like, okay, not that I want the credit, that I don't want to burden people. But every day it was ready, it was cleaned up and ready to go. I never had to come in and do anything in the kitchen, cleaning or anyways. These guys were amazing. Rec is another position that I threw teenagers into, and one adult, if you want to call him that, he thinks he's an adult since he's 18. Jonathan was kind of my point guy up there, but Jonathan and Jesse, well, Jesse too, but these kids jumped in, and they just led games and a rec time for those kids when they were outside. And the group leaders, while I was leading Bible study, I had group leaders who were leading each group of kids from place to place. Worked out great. Anybody or any area that I missed, thank you very much for all you did. Thanks to the parents for bringing out your kids and for inviting other parents to bring their kids. We had, on average, 35 to 40 each night. New faces every night. We had some people come in and were asking us about coming back. And that was really exciting to me. But I'm going to stop talking. And what I have is a slideshow. Now, some of the pictures are maybe a little blurry. Pictures were kind of taken by different people in the midst of everything, so some of the things may be a little blurry. But there's like 51 of them. So I'm going to play a song. Just enjoy these pictures so you guys can see where your prayers and your support go each week for these kids and each year. And I'm excited. I loved it. Am I ready to do it again next week? No, but give me a couple weeks, we could do it again if we had to. So, just thank you for everything, And I think I've got the slideshow right. I'm still working out user error kinks, my user error, in the making these proclaim slides, because you'd think I would have learned it by now, but sometimes it's a struggle because things don't work the way that I think they should. But I'm going to switch over to the slideshow, and I'm going to play a song because we've had some sound issues with that sound coming out of the computer. So at this time, just enjoy that slideshow, and we'll go back into worship.
Jesus saves.
Our scripture for today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. But before I read that, I would like to give the results. We had deacon election, and we have two new deacons who will be serving and an alternate as well. Gary Krotz and Kathy Humphreys will be serving as deacons, and Paul Pittman will be serving as the alternate. Kathy and Paul will be ordained next Sunday, so I invite you to come back and be part of that service as well. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where the thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money or mammon. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we pray that your word would come alive to speak to our hearts. Allow us to be able to understand what it means to be a true follower of you. And pray that you give us the courage to act upon what you lead us to understand. Guide us and use us as your servants. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What do Mike Tyson, MC Hammer, and Enron have in common? I'm just waiting to let your imaginations go all these different places. These are people that became rich very quickly and then lost all of that wealth. Enron was a company that a stadium in Houston was named after them and then just went bankrupt. Dale Carnegie also became extremely wealthy, but unlike these three, he didn't lose his money. He gave it away. He gave it away, and there's still Dale Carnegie Foundation things that are supporting scholarships and all kinds of programs around the world. Today just reminds us, Jesus reminds us, that wealth and fame, popularity, success, all of these things are fleeting. In other words, they don't really last. They last just a short time period, and then everything's gone. We look at figures in sports, entertainment, business, and look at people who nobody knew their name, and all of a sudden, because of something they accomplished, because of how fast they swam or how they did gymnastics, that now they're a figure that everybody knows. But baseball players, for example, make a lot of money and get to have fame, get to be seen on TV, even at a race car track, as of last night, for one whole inning, as some 100,000 people stacked into Bristol Motor Speedway to try to watch a baseball game that lasted probably about 10 minutes because of rain. But all this success is something that you cannot take with you. It does not last. And so Jesus identifies two types of treasures. He begins reminding us that, again, things don't last. Things always are changing. The things of the earth are subject to moths. Moths are nature's way of destruction. You have that nice wool sweater. You don't put mothballs in it, and all of a sudden you see these big holes in that nice sweater that you just got. Rust is also time's way of getting rid of things and destroying things. Cars that are beautiful, but over time, rust spots began to come up and develop. Thieves are humanity's way of destroying things as they take things from other people that do not belong to them. Jesus said anything that we can obtain from this world is subject to the moths, to the thieves, and to time. Jesus tells us instead of making fame or success or wealth a goal in life or a primary goal in life, we should focus on those things that cannot rot, cannot rust, and cannot be stolen. And the only things that last are the things of God. And that's what Jesus is reminding us of. Jesus challenges us to seek after God and God's ways. Even good things could be motivated by improper motives. 1 Corinthians 13, or at least my paraphrase of it, if you teach, but you're teaching only for the sake of getting to be famous, you're not really accomplishing a thing. If a preacher preaches to get attention, that's not really a thing either. No, if you want to make a difference, do it because of the love of God. Do it because God places that burden on your heart and what you want to be able to make a difference in somebody's life. And the legacy you live is not because of the fact that you were famous, but the fact you poured yourself into other people and made a difference in other people's lives. To do it for the honor of God, to honor God by investing in things that will last. Now, Jesus doesn't say to us we can't have ambitions. You know, we got to work for a living. We got to feed our families. We got certain things that we have obligations to do. But we should also be very passionate and zealous and enterprising for the things of God rather than just the things of earth. And Jesus points to the heart. The heart knows what's treasured. The heart knows what is treasured. If anything in this world is more important than the things of God, that's going to show. And if the things of God are more important than the things of the world, that also will show. Most of you are very familiar with the person Billy Graham. Billy Graham did something that a lot of people did not realize he did. In a day and age in which there were televangelists and people that were receiving their organization millions and millions of dollars, some of which even got in trouble for using that money for their own personal gain, even serving prison time for that. But Billy Graham chose the things of God. And so he set up, no matter how much money came in, he received a certain salary each year. Nothing less, nothing more. And because of that, he was not subject to the temptation of claiming claim to money that comes in saying, I deserve this. It's one of the most brilliant things I think any person with his notoriety has done. And it should serve as an example. Is that he did not allow money to be able to distract him from his purpose, which was to share the good news of Jesus Christ with as many people as possible. He treasured God, and therefore he put God first and said, I'll just take a salary and this is what I'll live on. But Jesus goes beyond just what we treasure in our hearts. It's also about the two eyes. The eye being the lamp of the body. And it talks about having good eyes and having bad eyes. Some say eyes are the window of the soul. And in some ways, that's the case. We see that. Jesus says the eyes are the window of the heart. It allows us to see what's inside of the person. The more they talk, the more you recognize not just what they're saying, but what they're actually meaning. And if our heart is focused on God, people will be able to see the hand of God in our lives. But if our heart is focused on fame or wealth or success, they're going to see that as well. Eyes communicate a great deal. As a matter of fact, we live in a culture in which we want to have eye contact. Somebody says something you don't have a hard time believing. Can you look me in the eye and tell me that? To make sure that you are understanding what they're saying. Eyes reveal a lot, such as the dog that has that guilty eyes when you see that pillow that's just been shredded on the couch. And then look down like that. Or painful eyes of someone who's in pain. Either the pain they feel or pain they feel for somebody else. Or the joyful eyes of a parent holding their child for the first time. Or a grandparent who said they would not do any of these silly things and it all goes away in a few seconds. Eyes reveal a great deal. And maybe you've met someone, as soon as you met them, because that light of Christ was shining in their heart, you knew immediately, this person is a man or woman of God. They know God. They're close to God. I could just tell that when I met them the first time. Because it is through the eyes that the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, comes into our heart. And from our heart, it then shines out to other people, so that others may see. But if we do not have that light within us, Jesus says, our heart is filled with darkness. So Jesus uses the example of two treasures. He uses the example of two eyes. And then it comes down to, you have a choice between two lords. He goes from using the illustration to say plainly what he means. To treasure in life. We cannot serve two lords. You cannot have two masters. One will be given priority over the other, and your heart will make the determination which one you choose to follow. We fool ourselves to think that we can live comfortably in both worlds and serve each equally. Jesus said, if we love one Lord, we'll hate the other. In other words, if our heart is focused on the world, then we'll resent all we have to do to sacrifice on behalf of God. Or if our heart is focused on God, we'll resent having to play the games the world demands of us to play in order to fulfill our calling. Jesus uses two terms. He refers to the things of God and the things of mammon. Mammon, not those woolly creatures, as mammoth. Mammon can be translated as money or wealth or gain. And I believe here, fame can also be included here as well. Any focus that is solely on being able to become wealthy or famous or successful, if we're driven by wealth, there is no amount of wealth in this world to satisfy that hunger. If you want fame, you gain that fame, and then you mourn the loss of a regular life. How many people who have become famous overnight wish they could simply go for a walk in a park and not be mobbed by a bunch of people? It comes at a very high price. And those who focus upon this world, again, wealth and fame demand we consider ourselves, our ambitions, more important than anything else, including God. But Paul teaches us that we should consider others better than ourselves in the book of Philippians. And maybe that's what Paul is referring to, this particular teaching of Jesus. Basically, if we are seeking out success, if we're seeking out wealth and fame as our primary things in life, we will go hungry and go unsatisfied because those are things we can't take with us. But the things of God are things that last within us as long as we're living and belong in those people that we've made a difference in for the rest of their lives as well. And either way, which Lord you choose, you become a target. If you choose to follow the ways of God, you become a target for those who choose the way of the world. If you choose the things of the world, then you miss out on all that peace and love and joy and hope that comes through Jesus Christ. We live in a world that is driven by advertisements. We're challenged to become rich and famous and popular. Commercials tell us we deserve whatever we want. It's an environment that creates this kind of atmosphere. And yet, no matter how many of the themes we obtain from the advertisements, whether it's there on the TV or on Facebook or TikTok or wherever it's at, nothing satisfies that deep hunger within each human being that only can be satisfied by God. We're challenged by the teachings of Jesus to become servants of God by living by the very teachings of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And from time to time, we have to ask ourselves a question. What is it I truly treasure? How do you tell what you treasure? It's not what you think up here. And partly it's what you feel down here. But it's also, what gets my time? What do I spend my time doing? How much time do I spend focusing on God, and how much time do I spend on other stuff? How do I use my resources? There are certain things I can't afford, but I make room for those things that are important to me. So how I use my resources, my time, my resources, dictates what my treasure is. How we spend our time and our resources and our attention reflect who and what is most important to us. Jesus is not saying we should all become poor and live in rags. And we do have to work for a living to be able to feed our family. Jesus is just reminding you that that wallet and the other things that you have in life that you need to survive are things that are fleeting. And if you really want to make an investment that will pay dividends, invest in God. For you see, Jesus Christ came to the earth to be able to offer this teaching, to be able to preach this Sermon on the Mount. This same Jesus Christ endured the rejection and betrayal of one of his own in a Garden of Gethsemane, allowed himself to be arrested, allowed himself to go through multiple trials, and to be spit at and ridiculed. He allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to go to the cross for you and for me. Why? Because his purpose was to serve God. And he made room for you and me by his willingness to endure all those things. Because he had the mind that God placed in his heart. His heart shined out that light that cannot be extinguished, cannot be destroyed, and cannot be stopped. Jesus Christ did that for you and for me. I think that's worth treasuring. Treasure the one who gave it all so that we could find life. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, and we thank you for providing those physical things we need for the food on the table and for transportation and other things that we need. But we also want to make an investment in you, in your ways, in your work. Help us to be able to understand how important it is to invest ourselves in things that do last. Sharing the gospel with someone, helping someone understand what it means to accept Christ, that changes that person's life and potentially changes many other lives beyond that. These are the things that we should treasure, that we should honor, that we should focus upon. Lord, I pray if anyone here has not received that gift that Jesus has offered to us, I pray that you help them to see the meaning of doing that, even this day, or at least be willing to talk to me about that. Lord, guide us. Let us treasure what is important and what makes a difference, not only in our lifetime, but in many lifetimes beyond that, so your work can be done and your love can be shown. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand? Hymn number 305.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Thank you.